from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starr.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, we welcome you to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from my home base at the home of the Todd Starnes Show here in Iowa. News Talk 1540 in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. 844-747-8868 is the number you can call to join this conversation. Same as always, 844-747-8868. Todd is on the road today making his way to Liberty University, and he'll be bringing you this program from that great Liberty University remote studio that they have put up there. So it's my pleasure to be here and my pleasure to welcome on the Liberty University Newsmaker line not only a return guest to this program, but someone I've had the privilege of speaking with on this program. She is the member of Congress from the 14th District of Georgia, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. Representative Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you? Thanks for being here.
Hey, Jeff. I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Doing very, very well, although I'm a little worried about this so-called COVID bill that the House of Representatives passed. No thanks to you, ma'am. On early Saturday morning, what's your feeling when you're there in the chamber, you're representing your district, and you see this thing come through? You're only one vote, you cast your vote, but what's your sense about some of this?
Oh, well, that $1.9 trillion blue state bailout, that's what we've been calling it, less than 9% actually goes to any type of COVID relief. And it's just, you know what it is? It's insanity after insanity after insanity. And so that COVID bill was the most unnecessary spending, $1.9 trillion of just more debt, when we have $1 trillion sitting there that's ready to be appropriated. The Democrats don't care about that. All they care about is passing their woke progressive agenda, and that's all that spending bill was all about. But, you know, more than that, Jeff, there's some other bills through that are just jaw-dropping. The Equality Act last week, I was very vocal on, destroying women's rights, destroying women's sports, destroying religious freedoms, all for the sake of destroying gender. Putting that in our law, amending the Civil Rights Act, that's the one that Americans should really be outraged about. And then this week, along with H.R. 1, which federalizes elections, we have H.R. 1280, which is I call it the Democrat Hate Police Act. This is a bill that is just atrocious, that takes away qualified immunity for police, which opens them up with bloodthirsty attorneys that will sue them just because a criminal gets his feelings hurt and is upset that he got arrested. It has so much more stuff in there. It creates a nationalized police list. I call it Biden's police hit list. Basically compiles all complaints against police officers, regardless of whether the complaints are substantiated or if the officer exonerated. They get put on a list that is national, that's kept on a website where anyone can look it up and go after these police. So Democrats, everything they're doing right now is beyond wrong, and it just shows you why elections are so important.
Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. You can follow her. Her official account on the Twitter machine is @RepMTG. You know, there's a lot of symbolism that comes through legislation, and sometimes people like me put too much attention on it. But when you call it H.R. 1, that tells you that this is the game plan, right? This is the playbook. Let's try to figure a way to game the system and steal elections. And now they're just steamrolling if this kind of thing goes through. Do you really? Will all the Democrats hold firm? I guess that's my question on it.
Oh, yeah. No. What they're doing is they'll pass these bills, and then they're going to the Senate. I actually have to go vote here in just a minute, Jeff.
Yes, ma'am.
These bills are going to the Senate where they really have to, you know, and that's why us losing our two Georgia Senate seats are just devastating, because we wouldn't even be concerned. We wouldn't worry if we had two Republican senators from Georgia in there right now. But we have two very radical Democrat senators from Georgia. So with the Senate being 50-50, this is a lot to be concerned about. Here's what I want to say, though.
Yes, please.
I want to give people some marching orders. I've gotten to a point where I'm just really trying conservatives complain, and that's all we're doing is complaining.
Yes.
Republican voters need to turn into activists, and this is what I've been saying over and over. It's time to stop posting on social media and complaining about being canceled. It's time to start taking action. And so here's something that people can do right now is you need to put pressure on the Senate. Put pressure on the Senate to stop H.R. 1, the federalization of elections. Put pressure on the Senate to knock down this ridiculous spending package. Put pressure on the Senate to stop this horrible defund the police, Democrats hate the police bill, H.R. 1280. But that's where, and big ones, put pressure on the Senate to stop the Equality Act, most evil bill ever passed in Congress. But this is where all the pressure needs to go, is straight into the Senate, because this is where we can stop everything right now. Pelosi and the Democrats are running Congress, and there's no stopping anything in here. So put your pressure in the Senate. Never stop saying it. Stand up for you want, because everyone you elect actually works for you. You're the taxpayer. You hire them. Hold them accountable.
Yes, ma'am. And that's really what we need, is the solutions. You're right. We have so many people saying, all right, I know what's wrong. Will you take every step you can? Whether it's calling your library to say, don't take Dr. Seuss off the shelf, or whether it's contacting your member of Congress or your senator. Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time. You said you had to go vote, and that is what the people of the 14th District of Georgia elected you to do. So I appreciate you taking the time today, and we'll continue to follow you on Twitter at RepMTG. Congresswoman, thanks for the time.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Have a wonderful day.
You do the same. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, she represents the 14th District of Georgia. And she joined us live, coast to coast, on the Todd Starnes Show. Yep, got to go vote. And we need every one of them, so don't miss a vote. I believe Bronson City, Tennessee, who listens to this program on the live stream at toddstarnes.com, is still on the line. Joel, if you are there, thanks for calling Todd's show. And tell us what you think Donald Trump should be doing next.
All right, well, can you hear me? I'm on a speakerphone. Is it clear?
I can hear you just fine.
All right. Well, first, you need to get a message to Todd Starnes. Country music is not dead. I've got Patsy Cline on my CD player in the background, okay? So let's just let him know where it's at. Okay.
All right. That's number one. Yes, sir.
That's number one. Not quite as serious, all right? Donald Trump needs to do what this congresswoman was just talking about. He knows some billionaires. He knows some multi-billionaires. He knows a lot of people with money. What he needs to be doing, he collects contributions, he needs to collect a group of people, form a syndicate, a consortium, call it what you want, and he needs to get them to start businesses. I don't care, yes, I care about books possibly being burned, another Kristallnacht, whatever you want to call it, but you know what? If we had our own publishers, our own Amazon, our own Facebook, our own banks, etc., and there are people in this country with money, there is a captive audience. Let Donald Trump do that for the next 3 years. We can't bankrupt them, but we can shortcut half of their profits away. I can't do it, you can't do it, but you and the other talk show hosts can get to Donald Trump's ear. That's your job. And then we can follow as citizens and go over to the new businesses and leave these liberal, leftist, Marxist collaborating businesses in the dirt, in the rearview mirror. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
No, Joel, I appreciate that. And I think we talked last week, if I'm not mistaken, when I was filling in for Todd, and you had a similar idea, which is basically if someone will present us with an opportunity and an alternative, then we the people can take advantage of that. If we have a good, solid alternative to Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all the rest of this, we'll find
Amazon.
It. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
All of these things.
Yeah,
I think that's an excellent...
And Donald Trump has access to it, and you have access to Donald Trump.
Well, you know, Todd may have access to Donald Trump. I'm at a different level, but I will. Well, tell you what. In our next hour, Corey Lewandowski is on the program, and he does have the ear of Donald Trump. And I'll tell him, Joel from Johnson City. We're getting much closer, Joel. Thanks so much for calling in on the Todd Starnes Show from Johnson City, Tennessee. We'd like to have you join this conversation as well. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Were there some signs, some, shall we say, red flags that should have let people know that Governor Andrew Cuomo was, well, you know, what he appears to be? At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with the author of a book called Red Flags about that and other news of the day. Like to talk to you between now and then, 844-747-8868. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Good job, folks. You have found the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast, it's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff, in for Todd today. Join the conversation, won't you? 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. We've been talking about what you need to do in light of cancel culture and should we have alternatives out there so that people who have a certain political viewpoint don't have to worry about being canceled, etc. So one of the times I was here not long ago, it was right after Todd had lost his LinkedIn account, and it was all Grace Baker's fault. And she wasn't here to defend herself, but I still blamed her for it. She had posted something at toddstarnes.com. He reposted it, and then they said, oh, that's it. No more LinkedIn for you. That's the short of it. There are nuances to the story, but that's the short of it. And it's serious business. And I have to tell you, though, as I watched all of this kind of play out, and I'm thinking, feeling left out. You know, I was sort of feeling like, well, what am I not doing? You know, I do commentaries and I post things and I talk on the radio and you know, nothing. You know, everything just keeps moving through the transom. And then last Thursday night, I got an email late in the evening, and it said that a commentary, the video version of a commentary that I had done for my radio station, KXEL here in Iowa, YouTube was removing it because I was apparently a threat to democracy. I don't know what. But here's the funny part. Well, and none of this is funny. It is hilarious, but it's not funny, if you understand the distinction. So I look at this and I say, oh, what did I do? Because I didn't think I had done anything that week that was terribly crazy. Turns out, in February, like what, February 20th, somewhere in there, they were so concerned about a video that I had posted on December 10th that it had to come down right away. The future of society depended on them removing my video 2.5 months after it had been put up there. Naturally, I was curious. What was it that I had said on December 10th of 2020 that was so bad that it had to, in order, and this is their phrase, in order to make YouTube a safe place, they had to take the video down. So I looked, and I had made reference to the fact that there were some people who said there was no fraud at all in the election. Keep in mind, this is December 10th, all right? There used to be people who said no fraud. Then there were people who said, well, maybe there was a little fraud. And then we got to, well, there was fraud, but not enough to change the outcome. That's what I was doing, was reporting, reciting the fact that there had been kind of a migration from no fraud to, well, all right, maybe some isolated fraud to, well, it doesn't matter, it wasn't enough to change the outcome. I was not advocating anything, just simply saying that those who were defending the results of the election had their position. They had migrated, shall we say. And somehow the artificial intelligence robots at the YouTube finally figured it out 2.5 months later and said, that's it, we're taking that down. Now, you can appeal if you like, but anyone who challenges the outcome of the election, I'm sorry, we're not going to let that be on YouTube because it doesn't create a safe enough environment. Could have appealed, but frankly, when I do a commentary, it's, you know, I don't have any illusion that it's this great piece of broadcasting history that needs to be preserved forever. I mean, it's what's on my mind that day that I think my audience will find interesting. And you can decide for yourself. They're all posted at KXEL.com. Not the video version of the one from December 10th, mind you, but they're there at KXEL.com. Well, I didn't appeal. I did not appeal for two reasons. One, I'm kind of busy doing things day to day. I'm not sure that I have the time. I'm not sure it's the best use of my time, in other words, to try to have restored a 2.5 month old commentary. I know you need to fight this at every level. I'm not arguing that, but it just didn't seem like, A, it was worth putting good time after bad, if you will. And second, what was the chance of winning? Well, none. But I do know that my radio station is doing a new website. We've had this in the works for a while. And the people who are putting the website together for us said, hey, the new website will have the ability for you to post videos directly to a website so you won't have to go through a third-party vendor like YouTube. Do you want us to put that on your new website, or do you want to keep using YouTube? Raise your hand if you think you know what I said. Of course. And this is just the same thing that our previous caller talked about, Joel from Johnson City, Tennessee. Need to have alternative sources so he can't get canceled. So if I've got a website and I can put videos on it directly, guess what? I don't have to worry about good old YouTube saying 2.5 months after the fact, you're such a threat to democracy, we're taking it down 10 weeks later. Of course, by mentioning it on this national coast-to-coast Todd Starnes show, I probably just put a bullseye on my back. Oh, well, that's all right, because this is no time for people to be silent, is it? This is no time for us to do nothing. Earlier this half hour, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene pointed out, you got to talk to your representatives, you got to talk to your senators. And I completely concur. Do not assume they're going to do what you think is the right thing. They measure the input. And yes, you may say, oh, I'm afraid they'll put me on a mailing list and they'll ask for money. They're going to put you on a they are going to put you on a mailing list and ask for money anyway. You might as well get in there with your thoughts. And then if you want to ignore the fundraising pitch, do that. That's really all. But you have to be active in a productive and positive way. Dr. Wendy Patrick talks about red flags and the governor of New York, that and more, coming up. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Back to the Todd Starnes Show. 844-747-8868 is the number. Why not call now and get placed in line? We'll take your calls in our final segment of this hour. But joining us now on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is a return guest to this program and someone I've talked to on this program before. She's Dr. Wendy Patrick, a career prosecutor and author. You might remember her book, Red Flags, Frenemies, Underminers, and Ruthless People. And she joins us now live on the Todd Starnes Show. Dr. Patrick, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Jeff. It's always a pleasure to join you.
So I thought it would be interesting to talk with you about some of the news of the day. And in light of the experience that you have, not only as a prosecutor, but as someone who reads people and gives some advice on that. What do you make of these stories coming out about New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, not only in the workplace, but apparently the random wedding reception?
Well, that's right. Well, when you're somebody famous like Governor Cuomo, you really can't ever be random because you're recognizable, you are somebody of stature, you're credible, and you're held to a higher standard of care as a mentor and role model. And that's part of the problem when these stories break, is it's true we already had two accusers that were within his organization, but now we have this third accuser who just was introduced to him at a wedding reception. Now, this case, first of all, Jeff, is very factually distinguishable thus far from the cases in 2017, like Harvey Weinstein and hotel room liaisons. But sexual harassment is a very serious allegation, regardless of severity in some sense. And part of that has to do with the impact on the victim. And what we've seen now in Governor Cuomo's case over the weekend with his apology is it's very possible that some of the women that were involved would like to hear from him in person, not just see something printed. So as this continues to develop, I wouldn't be surprised if Governor Cuomo and his campaign, his platform, if maybe they come forward and decide it's time for him to speak out publicly.
And obviously he's given some statements over the course of time. Over the weekend, it was much more of an admission that things may have happened that he says were misinterpreted. Is it possible to separate behavior and in terms of the workplace as opposed to being out in public? Obviously the power situation is somewhat different, but he's going up to people that he's meeting at a wedding reception and they know it. So is there really, is that a distinction without a difference?
Yeah, Jeff, if you're, probably is a distinction without a difference. And I think that's what Governor Cuomo is recognizing himself. And, you know, when I spoke before, I called it a campaign. And that's because last summer when you and I were talking about Governor Cuomo, everybody was saying, you know, this guy should toss his hat into his name into the hat for president because he was so popular during those COVID press conferences. So he really rose to some level of stardom. But now he's probably rethinking his own behavior. At least that's what he's saying. And wondering if some of it might have been misinterpreted. But Jeff, he's probably also wondering if it was appropriate. And that seems to be where the focus is right now, is especially if you are somebody famous. And even if you're not, it's one thing to say, oh, well, this was the culture at the time. I was just kidding. It's quite another to recognize how seriously words and behavior matter. And that's especially true if you're somebody in a position of power.
Now, this may be somewhat flip on my part, and I don't mean it to be, but he's the governor of New York. He's not someone is for whom the spotlight and high-profile situations, that's not uncommon to him. And with all of this swirling around, how is it that he didn't just take stock himself? I mean, for example, when I see a story like that, and I know we've talked about it here at my radio, who would make statements like this in the workplace? I mean, we can't think of the situation, but of course, I think to myself, what have I said over time that maybe was insensitive? How is it that he hasn't had this, shall we say, reevaluation, self-examination before this?
Well, sometimes if you are, and I don't know Governor Cuomo, but people that are in positions of power often aren't chastised or called out on things that they say simply because of the power differential. Others think it's not appropriate, it's none of their business. Now, we've really seen that turning around over the last couple of years, and that has been a blessing for men and women in workplaces everywhere and in social scenarios. Governor Cuomo has basically is denying the conduct, denying many of the statements. Remember what he said publicly over the weekend, things were misinterpreted as unwanted flirtation. He's probably going to have to come back and be a little bit more specific in order to be able to head this off at the pass, because remember, the victims and their spokespeople are saying, hey, ladies, more of you out there, please come forward. Now, of course, we have no idea whether that will happen or not. But that introspection, that self-reflectioning, you know, that probably should have taken place back in 2017 when it went from powerhouse to pariah over one weekend in October, causing many people in the workplace, men and women, to reevaluate and self-reflect upon their own behavior and certainly ensure going forward that they didn't do or say something that as well.
Wendy Patrick joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. You can find her on Twitter at Wendy Patrick PhD, and the website is WendyPatrickPhD.com. If you go to Newsmax.com and click on the Insiders tab, you'll see that she posts some of her thoughts and articles within that on occasion. All right, so as someone who has studied this and written about it in the book Red Flags, are there things that the Cuomo situation can teach all of us in terms of seeing this behavior in our own daily lives? Or, I suppose, a different question, answer whichever one you like, or none at all. Or should there have been, I mean, as you're, do you look and say, oh, I could have told you this would happen, because you're seeing red flags all along with the Cuomo story?
Well, you know, what's interesting, Jeff, and as a lawyer, I'll kind of answer something a little bit off topic, but related, sure, is, you know, we watched so much of his public hearings last year, and there really was no indication that this is somebody that, you know, would do something like this. And there really didn't seem to be the kind of red flags, at least not publicly, and at least not from those that knew him and spoke of him. But in a word, when you're looking for red flags, if you do know somebody in the workplace you suspect, the word is boundaries. There are lots of scenarios where we are uncomfortable if somebody comes into a room or if somebody's at a meeting, even if it's a Zoom meeting. That discomfort is often a result of them doing or saying something that made us uncomfortable. It might be as simple as a touch or an unwanted look, a glance, a personal question when we don't know them well enough. Those are the types of things that are often precursors to sexual harassment. Now, I don't know what was present here, but I'm willing to bet, given the high-profile nature of this ongoing investigation, that were there those kinds of precursors, we're going to hear more about them. And if there weren't, then maybe these were one-off. But one way or another, we know there's an ongoing investigation, and we can expect to get some answers.
I hear people say, when an allegation is made, and then a second, and then a third, and then a however many, they start stacking up. I hear people say, well, if it was such a big deal, why didn't the person, and typically it's a female, right, in these situations, why didn't the person say something earlier? And I think I know the answer, but I'd rather you as the expert say it. Why is it that you hear of so many of these as a domino effect at one time?
That's right. Delayed disclosure in instances and cases of sexual assault is the norm, not the exception. Delayed disclosure reflects the fact that victims are not comfortable coming forward, especially if it's a powerful perpetrator. But make no mistake, for sexual harassment victims, silence is not golden, and most of them regret not having spoken out right away. They were afraid to do so. They wondered, did they misinterpret it? Nobody would believe them. All the same types of reasons we've been hearing from other women over the years. And by the way, Jeff, even powerful women are not needed to come forward and report having been sexually harassed. There's always that concern about being stigmatized, treated differently, facing retaliation from maybe some of the governor's other fans or friends or followers or others that don't believe that he would do something like that. Not that that might ever take place, but those types of fears are one of the reasons, one of the main reasons, that sexual harassment victims just don't come forward and say anything, often until years later, because there is safety in numbers. One woman comes forward, another one, sometimes it'll stop at two or three, sometimes it doesn't. And that's why cases like this have to be settled by ongoing investigation.
And so there are a lot of people who are saying, well, he should resign. All right, let's assume that he resigns right now. That's not really closure, is it, for some of these individuals who have been impacted by his actions?
No, resigning is not always the answer. It's often the answer, and it's often something that's done sort of an expression of goodwill, of just, you know, trying to make the victim whole, or an expression of, you know, the different ways of this nowadays. But I think that term is overused, in that it seems, Jeff, like you and I are talking about, every time anybody's accused of anything, the answer can't just be resigning, because what we would like to see is no more instances of this occurring in the workplace to begin with. So while it's true that there's been enormous strides in really sort of leveling the playing field at different kinds of workplaces and having everybody understand this behavior is unacceptable, that would probably be a better step in the right direction in providing closure to victims than simply having all your design. So it's working towards a solution instead of just flagging the problem, as I hate to say, doing as more of these cases, not just with the governor's scenario, but all across the nation, come to light.
Yeah, it is not just in the governor's orbit there in New York. Such great insight as always. Thank you for taking the time. I greatly appreciate the conversation. Have an excellent day.
You as well. Thank you for having me, Jeff.
Dr. Wendy Patrick, career prosecutor, well-known public speaker. You can also see her writings in the Insiders column, that tab at Newsmax.com. And she is the author of a book called Red Flags, Frenemies, Underminers, and Ruthless People. And she joined us live on the Liberty University Newsmakers line here on the Todd Starn Show. So, Charlie, you're calling in to talk about a different topic. I hope you'll hold on through the break so that we can start fresh with that when we come back. And you might as well call in as well. 844-747-8868. That's the number to reach us. Jeff Stein in for Todd. And this is the Todd Starn Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. We got about 5 minutes and four phone callers. Let's see if I can do this. Charlie, you're listening to the live stream in South Carolina. Tell me your thoughts about the media and how it has, I believe, in your mind, misrepresented the events of January 6th. Go.
Well, I disagree with it being labeled a domestic terrorism for the simple reason that they're not labeling the attacks on the federal immigration building and the federal courthouse out west as domestic terrorism or Antifa or BLM. So if you're going to call one thing that was a domestic terrorism, you should call the other domestic terrorism also. And another question, why isn't Christopher Wray and the FBI going after these Antifa members and BLM people that were rioting and looting and attacking federal courthouses and federal immigration officers? You know, this is a question that I cannot understand why the FBI is now helping the Democrat Party and not just equally enforcing the law across the board. That's my question.
Charlie, thank you for the call. Well, they have been an arm of the Democrat Party right down to investigating one Donald J. Trump, and we know all of that. So you certainly have not gotten rid of the skunks in that place, to be sure. And with regard to the terminology, you're exactly right. When I'm reporting on it, I don't call it a riot at the U.S. Capitol. It's a disturbance. I don't know, you know, what's a riot? How do you define that? And they certainly weren't calling the other stuff. I mean, those were peaceful protesters lighting fires, as you may recall. Ruth is listening to the Todd Starn Show on the live stream from Tulsa. Ruth, you'd like to pick up on what we were talking about regarding Governor Cuomo. What can I do for you today? Yeah. What's on your mind?
I would. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
You know, Janice Dean has a big lawsuit coming against him for the death of 15,000 elderly because of his mishandling of COVID patients, which in my personal opinion, I think was intentional. It's another story for another time.
Sure.
And the thing of it is, we allow the mainstream media to call the narrative.
Yes.
So now we're talking about sexual harassment, which, you know, your uncle could be accused of or your brother. So, you know, let's cut him a little slack. And the attention's off this very serious lawsuit, which should be addressed and should be outrageous to people, what he did. And then on top of that, last night I went to a meeting for a fellow who's going to challenge one of our state senators for his seat because he didn't stand behind President Trump. And I said to them, if you don't address election integrity, all this is moot. It's a moot point. We have got to get to our state legislatures and demand that they make our state elections completely integral. And if they're not going to do that, then anything else is just a waste of time and energy, and we're being distracted from the real issue is that our voice, our values, our beliefs, our Constitution has to be first and foremost before every decision, every discussion. And until we address that, we're just wasting time, to be honest with you.
What smart comments, Ruth. Thank you so much for calling in from Tulsa. Yes, with regard to the, if you will, hide the ball or shiny object or whatever narrative on Cuomo. Oh, now let's go focus on this, because if we focus on the sexual harassment, we then don't have to account for the fact that he condemned so many of our seniors to death, which is in essence what happened. And as far as it's time for us to get involved, heavens, if we're not going to get involved now, I don't know what it's going to take. Murph picks up the conversation from Germantown, Tennessee, listening on the Mighty 990, Mighty WAM, KWAM. So let's talk about how you define harassment. That is a very key point. Tell me more, Murph.
I'd like to know. It's like, how to define insurrection. Those words are very vague. But in regard to this situation with the governor, years ago when I was in the classroom, in the fall and in the spring, teaching 12th graders, some of those 12th grade girls, boy, it was a beautiful day at the ballpark. And it got so bad during the spring that I approached one of our assistant principals, who was a female, and asked her about what these young ladies are wearing to class, because it was everything but the imagination was showing, okay?
But did they take action? Did that person take action and do something about it? The assistant you talked about.
This is what I was. She mentioned it to a couple of mothers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to stay out of this as much as I could. And
right.
Talked to Nancy, my wife, about it. She said, "Go to the assistant principal." And the reaction.
I got 10 seconds.
Got from the mother. Yes, ma'am. The reaction. Yes, sir. We got from these mothers was, but they looked so cute.
Oh, goodness. Hey, thank you so much for the call, Murph. A beautiful day at the ballpark. Hey, thanks so much for weighing in, folks, and for being here. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and you've been listening to this hour of the Todd Starnes Show.